Welcome back to the deep dive. You're here because you want that deep, actionable knowledge that really cuts through all the
And
noise.
that's what we do. We take the research, the notes, the concepts, and we just distill it for you.
Today, we are diving into a really, I think, a compelling solution. It's aimed at one of the biggest bottlenecks in AI development right now.
Access equity.
Exactly. Access equity. We're exploring this framework that's proposed in the source material called Open Token. So our deep dive mission is pretty clear. We need to understand exactly how this proposed shared AI credit framework is supposed to democratize access to frontier models.
And more importantly, whether its whole governance structure is actually robust enough to succeed.
Right. Okay, let's unpack this.
I think we have to start with the urgency of the problem. I mean, AI systems, especially the big proprietary ones, they're fast becoming essential public infrastructure.
You really are.
So if you're a nonprofit or, say, an academic lab or an open source foundation, your ability to innovate, to audit, to even validate these systems, it's absolutely paramount.
For global safety, for public utility, all of it.
Right. But the core barrier right now is, well, it's shockingly simple. It's money.
It always is.
Yeah, usage-based pricing. The cost per token is just creating this insurmountable hurdle for anyone in the public goods sector.
And we're not talking about a small inconvenience here. The costs can be huge.
Oh, massive.
Yeah.
Think about a small open source team. They need to run safety benchmarks across, what, maybe half a dozen frontier models.
Sure.
That compute can easily run into the tens, maybe even hundreds of thousands of dollars for one project.
Wow. So if the cost of entry is that high, you basically lock out the entire community that's dedicated to building guardrails and improving transparency?
You do. You're effectively saying only the richest private labs get to do the most important safety work.
Which is a huge risk.
Precisely. And that's why this concept, Open Token, is so interesting. It's proposed as a direct structural solution to that exact equity challenge.
So it's a bridge.
It's a neutral bridge. The problem is clear. Open source needs access. The solution has to be this.
Okay, so let's define this clearly for you. The sources lay out exactly what Open Token is.
And crucially, what it is not.
Yes, what it's not. It's defined as a shared AI credit framework. It's basically a formal system where the major LLM providers contribute low cost or even free compute tokens.
And we really have to stress this next part.
We do. For all sorts of legal and regulatory reasons, Open Token is not a cryptocurrency.
Right. Not a new tradable asset, not a financial instrument.
Nothing like that. It strictly represents granted compute credits. That's it.
And if it were a crypto asset, I mean, you'd just introduce all this volatility speculation.
Oh, the regulatory headaches alone would kill it before it ever launched.
Absolutely. By keeping it a simple, non-transferable credit, they keep the focus squarely on one thing: equitable distribution of compute power.
So who's in this ecosystem? The framework seems to define the players pretty clearly, starting with the
Yeah,
contributors.
the contributor. These are the big LLM service providers who are invited to donate tokens or discounts. The source material actually names them.
Who's on the list?
OpenAI, Anthropic, Google, Mistral, Together.ai.
They run OpenRouter, right.
They do. And also Stability AI.
You know, it's interesting. You have these fierce market competitors, I mean, OpenAI and Google, being asked to contribute their most expensive resource to a shared pool.
That's the tension right there. Their participation kind of signals that they know the open source ecosystem is vital for their own long-term health, even if it's, a rival today.
Which makes the governance structure all the more critical. So, who gets to draw from this pool? Who are the recipients?
The recipients have to be verified. So open source foundations, academic labs, nonprofit developers.
The ones actually building the open tools, the data sets, the community models.
Exactly, the projects that inherently benefit the public. And the plan is to distribute these credits through trusted neutral organizations.
Which is where the UN comes in, the Digital Public Goods Alliance, or DPGA. For anyone who isn't familiar, can you just elaborate on why them?
It's a really smart choice, actually. The DPGA already specializes in identifying and advocating for digital public goods.
So things like open source software, open data, open standards.
Right. They bring that institutional weight, that global reach. But the most important thing they offer is neutrality.
Ah, I see.
When you have these high-value resources donated by competitive private companies, you absolutely need an international non-commercial body to manage the whole thing without political bias.
So it ensures credits are distributed based on public benefit, not commercial favoritism.
That's the goal. That structural choice is key.
Okay, that makes sense. And that integrity really speaks to the project's goals. The concept note lays out these four main objectives, kind of the four pillars of the whole thing.
Right.
The first one is pretty straightforward: ensure access equity. It's just about leveling the playing field.
So developers who don't have deep pockets can still experiment with frontier models.
Exactly. But the second and third pillars seem really connected.
Promote AI transparency and reproducibility, and strengthen open innovation.
Yeah, they're deeply intertwined. You can't really have one without the other.
How so?
Well, right now, a lot of the essential work, like auditing a model for bias or validating its safety claims,
that requires repeated, expensive access to the API.
Exactly. So if access is free for auditors, they can run extensive, reproducible benchmarks that either confirm or, you know, deny the claims that the providers are making.
So it creates this crucial feedback loop.
It does. By giving the community free access, the private labs are essentially getting free, high-quality external auditing services.
Specifically for AI safety and tooling, which helps the whole field mature.
Right.
And that brings us to the fourth pillar, the one you mentioned earlier, advanced corporate social responsibility, or CSR.
This is where that tension comes back. On the surface, it lets AI providers show measurable support for the open digital commons.
But is it pure altruism? Or is it more like self-regulation to get ahead of government intervention? I think it's both. And the structure kind of acknowledges that. The private labs know that the faster they mature and police this space, the less likely they are to face heavy-handed legislation down the road.
So OpenToken gives them a verifiable way to say, look, we're contributing compute to ensure safety and transparency globally.
Exactly. It turns these abstract promises into concrete support. They get to frame their investment as a public benefit, even if it serves their own long-term commercial interests.
So the real genius here might be aligning corporate self-interest with the public's need for equity.
I think so. It's a very clever alignment.
Okay, so if we accept the what and the why, let's get into the how. The implementation framework described in the sources is surprisingly detailed.
It is. And the devil is always in the details of execution. The governance, as we said, relies on a neutral consortium managed under the UNDPGA.
But that raises a challenge, right? Bureaucracy.
It does.
I mean, if you're a scrappy startup or a fast-moving academic team, doesn't introducing a global governance layer just slow everything down? Tech moves so fast, the UN traditionally does not.
That is the trade-off. You're sacrificing some speed for stability and transparency. The framework basically says that the value of neutral global distribution outweighs the friction.
So the rules have to be rigorous.
They have to be, to maintain contributor trust. If the process was too fast and loose, the corporate partners would just pull out, citing misuse of their resources.
So the slowness is a feature, not a bug. It guarantees integrity.
In a way, yes.
Yeah.
Even if it frustrates some users.
Understood. Okay, so how do recipients actually get the credits? The distribution platform. It seems the goal is unified access, not something fragmented across different sites.
Right. Integrated via partner APIs or a separate independent platform. The source note cites a few examples, like OpenRouter.
From Together.ai?
And Hugging Face.
That points to a pretty critical logistical choice. Do you use an established community hub like Hugging Face, or do you build something new from scratch?
It's a fascinating comparison. Using a platform like Hugging Face, you immediately solve the user adoption problem. The community is already there.
Right. Familiar user experience, centralized control.
But it also introduces a single point of failure risk, right?
Right.
Where one key partner holds all the keys to the kingdom.
And building a new separate platform.
That would give you complete governance autonomy, but it would be, I mean, enormously expensive, duplicative, and would take years to build user trust.
So the proposal leans towards integrating with existing platforms first. Practicality over purity.
At least in the short term. It seems like a phased approach. Leverage existing trust now, maybe move to more independence later.
But no matter the platform, it all comes down to accountability. If Google and Anthropic are donating millions in compute, how do you maintain that?
Accountability is the linchpin. And this is addressed directly by the reporting element, which ties right back to that DPGA governance structure.
An annual public report.
A mandatory one. And it's not just some glossy summary. It's issued through the UN framework, detailing the total value of tokens granted, broken down by provider.
The specific projects supported, with case studies.
And measured impact metrics. This public reporting is absolutely non-negotiable.
It keeps everyone honest.
It does. Okay. The contributors need to show their CSR investment is real. The recipients need to show they're using a scarce resource for the public good. It locks everyone into a verifiable, auditable loop.
That transparency moves the whole idea from just good intentions into verifiable action. Okay, so let's shift to the expected outcomes. The note cites some pretty big impacts if this whole thing is successful.
It does.
First and foremost, democratized access to AI capabilities globally. That's the main mission.
Making sure talent, not treasury, determines who gets to work on these frontier problems.
Right. And tied to that is the second outcome, strengthen trust and collaboration.
And that's maybe the hardest one to achieve. But if you can successfully govern competitive private resources under a neutral UN framework, wow, that sets a powerful precedent.
It would. That kind of formal collaboration is desperately needed in AI right now,
where trust is often so low between different groups.
The third outcome is about permanence. Concrete progress toward the financial sustainability of open source AI infrastructure.
It's essentially a structured funding mechanism for the AI commons, instead of constantly chasing grants for compute.
Verified public good projects get a sustainable, predictable resource stream,
which lets them shift their focus from fundraising back to innovation.
And this all leads to the call to action that kind of frames the whole effort. It's an open invitation to AI providers, cloud platforms, philanthropic groups
to join this collective effort. They're really pushing for a monumental shift towards a sustainable digital commons under that DPGA framework.
There's a powerful quote in the material about the ultimate goal.
There is. They define success with this incredibly ambitious goal: to make access to intelligence as open as access to code. That statement really summarizes the whole revolutionary potential. It's about ensuring foundational intelligence isn't perpetually locked behind a paywall for those working in the public interest,
but is instead governed as a shared essential resource.
Much like open source software itself.
That is a profound thought. So what does this all mean for you, listening to this and taking this knowledge back to your own work? Open Token isn't just a plea for charity. It is a concrete, structured mechanism designed to bridge that financial gap between cutting-edge AI services and the resource-strapped open-source community.
And it uses these robust international governance structures, the UNDPGA, to make sure contributions are neutral, verifiable, and targeted toward public good projects.
Projects that enhance safety, transparency, and global access. It's a calculated structural solution to a pervasive equity problem. Thank you for diving deep with us into this concept.
And here's a final thought for you to consider. If Open Token actually succeeds, if it proves that private compute resources can be reliably and equitably governed for the public good under a UN framework, what other essential but extremely expensive technologies could benefit from a similar shared credit model? Think about specialized satellite data for climate monitoring or advanced biotech sequencing for global health research. The success or failure of this could pave the way for entirely new, globally governed models of high-cost resource sharing.